everyone, and welcome back to Phone Show Chat. It's show 905, and it's Monday the 10th of August. It should be the 17th of August. Sorry about that, but Joe can explain why it's not Monday the 17th of August.
Yes, I was going to get into that in my throes, actually. I'm going on holiday next week to Lowestoft, and I could have recorded there, but we decided to go a week earlier, and thank you for Jim for accepting that.
Jim Powell, who's with us now. Hello, Jim.
Hello. How is everyone?
Okay, yeah, back in the saddle to tell us all about your interesting devices, as usual. Yep. And the pair of you can tell us all how to go about breaking screens, I think. So we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
PhoneShowChat.uk is our website, two S's in the middle. And if you get lost, everything's at tedsalmon.com and most of it's at PodHub UK. So there's that. But yes, Jim, straight in at the deep end, let's get Guest Scala going. And the world is your oyster. Take as little or as long a time as you like to talk about whatever you like in relation to lovely mobile phones world.
You shouldn't allow that, Ted. You let me ramble on for that long. We may never finish. I called this particular spot the side phone saga because it has been a bit of a saga, to be honest. And as you mentioned earlier, and as Joe found out with his Razr Fold, I managed to follow him and start damaging the phone in ways that I didn't think were possible. But more on that later. So I've had the side phone for about a month, and I got to admit, I love it. My SIM card, my main SIM, is still in it at the moment. So it's probably the longest time it's been in the phone recently, with all the swapping about. That says something about it, because as I said, I'm a serial phone switcher, but not as often as you, Ted, obviously, but nearly. But from a hardware perspective, I really do like it. It does really take you back to the kind of earlier Nokia days, with the little candy bar phones. Yeah. It fits in a pocket amazingly. That's probably why I dropped it out of my pocket at a pub. Probably shouldn't have been drinking with it in the pocket, but yeah, it was so small it just fell out, and I only noticed when I heard it crack on the floor.
But Jim, it's a pub phone. It's a perfect.
It is a pub phone. It might need to be a bit tougher to be a proper pub phone.
Yeah.
It does remind me of the Nokias, the old Sony Ericssons, and the old small Siemens phones that we used to get given on call out from work.
I can't think of the word. Modular. That's the one. Which makes it different to those old Nokia phones, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Yeah. as you're saying, when it turned up, it had the original T9 keyboard in place. So it's not really T9 in the true sense of the word, because it didn't have any letters printed on it. The standard 1 to 9 keypad, or 1 to 0 keypad. It didn't have any letters posted on it at all, which would kind of throw you out slightly. But I suppose if you'd used all those old phones, you kind of know how to work it anyway. Yeah. But I didn't really buy it for that, because I'd ordered the compact QWERTY keyboard add-on as well to go with it. And so that T9 lasted about as long as it took me to pop it out of the thing once I'd got it out of the box. And it's not been back in it since. And it's the same. It came with the kind of circular D-pad as well. It's not a scroll wheel it looks like an iPod, but it's not a scroll wheel like the iPods. It's just like a keypad, a D-pad, I think, if I remember rightly.
But yeah, looks good though. Just quickly before you carry on, how easy was it to pop it out then?
Easy, with fingernail, just pop. And pop the other one. It's four little pogo pins underneath, and the other one just clips back in over the top of it, and it kind of worked straight away from that. So, but the compact QWERTY has kind of two letters on each key, but you don't press it twice to get that, because it uses software called Jake Type. And I recently watched something where they said that was named after a YouTuber that petitioned for the software to work that way or something. So I can't remember which YouTuber it was. But it's very reminiscent of the Blackberry Pearls that were back in the day with their kind of Shure type. Was it called Shure type? The old memory's getting a bit hazy. I think it
I
was.
wasn't I wasn't very good on Blackberries back in the day, so I can't help there.
So for me, that compact QWERTY's been in there from day one. There's only 64 gig on board, so it's very small memory. You're not going to be loading up your entire music collection on this one, that's for sure.
So
No
before
S.
you hang on, before you leave the QWERTY thingy, the keys don't rock left and right.
No.
It completely relies on that software. So
Yeah,
was
yeah.
does it not get caught out? There must be some words where
Well,
there's going to be more than one option, isn't there?
it's funny you should say that. I put my sections around the wrong way in the notes. So I jumped to the 64 gig and then went back to the keyboard again. But yeah, so the
Oh,
keyboard, I
okay.
found it to be a bit hit and miss in a physical sense as well. Sometimes the odd key press doesn't register, I've noticed. So,
Right.
you'll press a key and then I'll carry on typing quick. And then I think, oh, it hasn't done that right. But you are right, exactly what you said. It uses this Jake type software to figure out what you're typing. And if you've got like a special word or, like some slang that you might use and stuff like that, then it didn't work at all. I couldn't type certain words into it. But what you do there is you have to go into the system settings and go into the keyboard and input part of the settings, and there's a personal dictionary. And you can add all your words. So I spent a bit of time. It did make me sit and spend a bit of time putting all the kind of colloquialisms that I use day to day, being a Dell boy and all that. I had to type them all in so I could actually type them on the keyboard. And once you've done that, it does work pretty well when it registers. Like I say, at the odd point, it just doesn't register a key press occasionally. And it's not kind of limited to one key, which makes, but I think what part of it was I typed far too fast for it to keep up with me. So I've noticed that if I slow down, I don't get as many errors in what I'm typing.
Right.
So, but on the whole, it does interpret what you mean or what you're meaning to type pretty well.
Yeah.
A few niggles with the key presses, but it's kind of brought back a sense of fun. As you can imagine, my friends are not. A lot of my friends are not what I would call phone nerds. They're normobs. Let's use Steve's word of normobs for them. And they all laughed when I pulled that phone out of my pocket. They did. They laughed and they thought it'd only last a couple of days. And then when we went camping, they were amazed that my SIM card was still in it. So, it is. One other idiosyncrasy I've noted, you have to actually click in, even though the cursor's in the text field that you're typing into, you need to tap into it on the screen because it's got a touch screen as well. So you tap into it on the screen, or you don't get any autocorrect suggestions or any auto suggestions at all. So you have to actually tap into the field for it to pop up the little keyboard bit at the bottom. So that's a little bit of a niggle as well. But on the whole,
Does
it does.
the keyboard act as a cursor like the BlackBerry? Can you scroll capacitively to move the cursor or not?
No, not at all.
No.
There's no
Okay.
backlight either. That's another niggle with it. So, with
Right.
my eyesight in medium light, you can't see the key legends.
Okay.
So that makes it a bit of a problem. But they had bought out another keyboard that, well, they're saying it's a backlit one, but it's not. What they've done is they've produced a white version that has glow-in-the-dark keys. I
Brilliant.
mean, that's it. When you think about it, that's a cheap and inventive way around it, isn't it? But it's not true backlit keyboard. But yeah, I mean, like I say, on the whole, I found it to be, if I slow down a bit, I found it to be quite good for texting and stuff like that. But back onto the hardware, there's only 64 gig, no SD slot, so you're not getting a ton of media on it. And it's only got 4 gig of RAM. But the bonus of that is because it's not doing very much, it doesn't probably doesn't need more than 4 gig. So I've not seen it slow down at all. But like I say, it has freaked out occasionally, requiring a restart, not just in the camera, but in other places as well. I mean, the screen is great on it. The screen is great. Another niggle there, no auto brightness. So when I go outside, I have to turn it up, and when I come back inside, I have to turn it down again manually. So it really is retro in a way. It really does take you back to the old phones where you had to do everything manually yourself. Yeah,
I was trying to
and the other thing.
remember if those Symbian poems back in the day had auto brightness. I do you
Yeah.
know, I can't remember some of those N series and E series, did they?
Yeah. I can't remember myself, to
No.
be honest. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of taken me back in a way that I didn't expect it to. You have to do everything manually with this phone.
Yeah.
But that's part of the fun of it as well. That's why I've really got into using it. And no social media, as you know.
Right.
The
Not
screen,
none at all.
none at all. Well, you can try, but I haven't even tried, to be honest. But we get onto the software in a minute. But the
Okay.
screen is great. Even though it's so small, it's very good. But obviously, with aging eyes, I had to go in straight away and up the text size because the default setting was too small and I couldn't see
Yeah.
anything. It's a touch screen. If you turn off, you can select between the physical keyboard and an on-screen keyboard, but it is very tiny. And you do need to use it to type in user IDs and passwords, unfortunately. And you know, probably not got the biggest hands in the world, but they're not small either. So sausage fingers it's really kind of challenging to type a password in. But it kind of, like again, it kind of slows you down. It's kind of slowed me down in
Does
certain things.
the Jake type work inside that as well?
No, that's its
Right.
own thing. It's just a
Okay.
flat keyboard. Yeah, it doesn't
Still,
use the autocorrect software.
I suppose it's no worse than trying to type on a keyboard on a smartwatch.
That's true. Yeah, it's probably a little bit bigger than a smartwatch, give it that. Yeah.
And
Yeah, that's a fair point,
that's
actually.
awful though, so it's not, that's a low bar
Yeah.
there.
Do you know one thing I haven't tried out? It does do voice to text. I've not tried that yet because I've never been one really to dictate into a phone. I must try that. I've not tried that part of it.
That
Yeah,
might be a good
right.
solution, yeah.
Yeah. But it is very fiddly and, you know,
I'm just looking at
it.
the extras you can buy. There's a really cool mini controller keypad. Looks
Yeah,
very Game Boy-esque.
that's just come out, isn't it? Yeah,
Yeah, that
that's
looks
just come
great.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so onto the camera. Like I said, I've put in the show notes, it's a potato. And obviously, I put some snaps in there for you guys to have a look at. Occasionally, the camera, well, more than on a number of occasions, the camera's just gone berserk and purple stripes appear all over the phone screen. And then it just locks up the camera, again, requiring a restart. But like each time that's cured it, you know. It's not been something that's a permanent problem, so I'm assuming it's something in the software. And it's had one update since I got it. I've just remembered it did get one update. No notes for the update, you know, no list of things that it changed. So I've got no idea what that did, but it did get an update. But I don't know what.
I'll try and put a little gallery together of the photographs that we're looking at now so people can see what we're talking
Oh,
about.
okay.
One of them has got a purple line through the middle of it,
It has, yeah.
as you just said. But
Yeah.
the other ones, Joe and I were looking at them before we recorded, and we were quite surprised at how not bad they are.
Yeah, they're much better than I expected, Jim, I've got to
Looking at them
say.
in, like I say, when I took them off the phone, because I had to connect it to, well, I connected it to a Chromebook that Ted said to me. So I
Oh,
connected it
yeah.
to a Chromebook and that worked perfectly. And I copied them off onto the Chromebook and then uploaded them into the show notes. And when I looked at them, I thought, they're not as bad as I thought they were. You know,
Yeah.
they're not superb. But I didn't actually notice the one with the purple line in the last one. I didn't notice that at all. But that is the kind of thing it was doing. But imagine that over the whole screen as well of the viewfinder and
I
you're getting.
think the best one is the plate of breakfast. I think it's the sharpest, and it in good light, it shows where it's going to be giving you the best results, don't you think?
Yes,
Yeah,
indeed it
definitely.
does. Yeah,
And you give
yeah.
us a bit of a backstory, which makes us like it even more.
I did give you a backstory. I'd just been on a trip to Bristol. Well, I was still in Bristol at that point. The morning after meeting up with some of my ex-work colleagues, and I had a bit of an hangover, I will admit. So I went by train, luckily, so I wasn't driving back. And I thought I might need something to keep me going. So I actually made it home again. I was feeling not 100% at that point.
That's definitely sorted you out.
I think they do look, that one particularly looks better than what I'd have expected from a, 2 megapixel Nokia from back in the day. So
Yeah.
You know, even though it's limited hardware, it still looks quite good. Incidentally, before you go on, I just wanted to leap back to what Joe was saying, because that mini controller keypad looks really good. If you were to get hold of that, you'd effectively be able to turn the thing into a mini little Game Boy or something.
Yeah, you would.
Assuming you could get some games side-loaded onto it, I suppose, or something. But that looks very, very Nintendo to me.
It really did. I'd forgotten about that. I'd seen it before I come on the podcast, but I'd completely forgotten about it.
25 quid.
I might have to get one.
Yeah,
for 25 quid, it's not bad, is it at all?
Did you notice I lowered my voice when I said that?
Yeah.
No one could overhear me.
Just say me or Ted bought it.
Yeah, that's true. I could say that. Yeah, I wouldn't be believed, but I could say that. But carrying on with the hardware side, the Bluetooth works very well. That surprised me. It's got quite good range on it. Like, you know, I've left the phone in the house, been outside in the garden with a Galaxy Buds 4 Pro in my ears, and I've got quite a way before it lost the signal on that. It did have a few issues with the headphones. After I'd done the update, the headphones kept dropping while I was listening to something, so I had to delete them and repair them, and then I've never not had a problem since. So I'm assuming something with the update did something to Bluetooth and made the connection unstable, but I deleted them, repaired them, and I've tried them with the Aftershocks over ear ones that I've got as well, you know, like the open ear. They're called
Shocks
Open Fit 2s. Shocks Open Fit 2s.
Yeah, they're
tried
good
it with those. I've tried it with the Motorola clip buds.
Yep.
So use it with them. And it actually works pretty fine. Battery life, this is where it comes into its own, the battery life. Like, you know, I'd been using it all day with Galaxy Buds Pro 4, connected to the speaker. We've got a speaker in our bathroom. So while I was having a shower, connected to the speaker, made a few calls, sent a few texts, WhatsApps, using it all day long, on and off. And I took it off charge about 7 in the morning, and at 5:30, it still had 74%.
Mm.
You know, so the battery life is very good. I'm just looking at it now, and again, it's been off charge since about 7 this morning. And
it's a 2-day battery then, maybe? Yeah.
It's still on 56% now. And like I say, I've used it constantly to listen to podcasts while I was doing stuff. Again, while I was having a shower, I had it connected to the speaker in the bathroom, playing podcasts, been doing WhatsApp on it and things like that. So the battery life is pretty... I should have dug the specs out a bit more, because I didn't find out what the camera was and what the batteries, you know, what the battery size was. But I do still do my usual habit of putting it on charge overnight, even if I don't need to, because if I'm going to go out and about the next day, sometimes I don't know that I'm going out. And... so it's force of habit. So I just charge it up every night, but it's not once worried about it. While I was camping, that had the longest days, and it never run out of charge once, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good. So we'll come to the bit, you know, the bit that I empathize with Joe about is that the hardware itself. I mean, obviously it's a cheap phone. It was only $229 or £229. I think it was $229. Plus $15 to ship it. And for that, I mean, it looks good. It feels all right. It's got some weight to it, but it's not very tough, unfortunately. The first part was I managed to scratch the screen, and I still can't work out how I did that first one. I've got no idea. I was keeping it in a pocket on its own. Really didn't put any keys in with it or anything, so I can't understand how I got a scratch on the screen. The second one, I dropped it in the garden, which I posted on MeWe about, so more scratches to the screen.
Are these scratches like micro scratches, or are they big, deep gouges?
The first one was a deep scratch, and the second one, where it hit the floor in the garden, the concrete slabs, it did gouge it, so it was gouges in the top of the screen. Okay. And then the third one, like I say, I was sitting outside a pub, didn't realise, had shorts on, should have probably worn shorts with zips or side pockets, and I heard a clunk, and it must have fallen about a foot and shattered the back of it. Like, it's got a small little plastic or glass strip, probably plastic, I would imagine, that covers the camera and the flash. and it shattered around the flash, and a bit fell out. Now, I've you know, being an expert with super glue, I came home and super glued that back in. And at that point, I also discovered that it came with a factory fitted screen protector that I didn't know about. Yeah.
Well, so you took it off.
Yeah, I've taken that off. That was probably a mistake. I should have probably left it on, because I did order a couple of replacement screen protectors and a case that I didn't in the first place. So that's the first learning point that we always say every time, always buy a case. And I didn't, because I thought this one would be a bit tougher. So I didn't buy the case, which was only £10. And I didn't buy the pack of two screen protectors, which was only £10. So
you could, isn't it small enough also to consider having on a lanyard around your neck or something?
You could do, if you, but you'd have to have it in a case. It's got no hole for a lanyard, so it doesn't have a lanyard connecting point. But you could probably get a case and put it around your neck, and it would work like that, because it's even though it's got a decent weight, it's not heavy.
Right.
If you know what I mean. So, yeah, so broke the little pane of glass. I've glued that back in. Probably my unluckiest phone ever, I would say, at this point. Like, well, unless you count the Windows phone that I got from work that fell a foot onto the floor and shattered the screen entirely. But I don't count that one because I didn't pay for it. But, yeah, so I've ordered another. There seems to be something up with the production of the screen protectors at the moment, because I got an email saying that there was something up with the production of the screen protectors and there was still a wait on for them. So I'm now being extra careful with it, and I'm not wearing stupid shorts when I have the phone in my pocket. So that's the key. No wearing stupid shorts, no going to the pub with stupid shorts on so it can't fall out of my pocket.
Fair enough.
From a software perspective, the side phone itself is a de-Googled phone. It runs Android 12, and I did look at the security while I was typing up the notes. It was a bit of a surprise to see that was 5th of December 2024. So they're obviously not keeping up with security updates at the moment.
But the security, yes, but the important bit is the Play system updates. If you can get to that, I don't know if you can.
It doesn't have it, so that's not a worry, because it doesn't have it. Yeah.
Oh, I see. So there's no Play, because it's de-Googled, the Play system's not on there at all anyway.
That's right. There's no Play Store, no Google apps at all. So it's de-Googled by design. Runs Android 12, just AOSP. Security's out of date completely, but they give you a curated set of repositories that you can install. So you have you have to do it on your PC, and then you snap the barcode. It's not a barcode. What are the square ones called?
QR code.
QR code. That's it. So you scan the QR code, and you can install a repository and download some apps from there. But even though you can get Proton Mail. I found with Proton Mail, you couldn't use your own email account with it. I think it looked like it was, you had to sign up for a Proton account. I didn't go into it too far because I thought, well, I'm not really bothered about email on this thing. The repositories cover a lot of stuff that you use. I'm using the built-in, or it came from one of the repositories, Breezy Weather. Because I do like a weather app, so that's working very well, and it's quite comprehensive for an open source weather app. There's a calendar app, surprisingly called Calendar, that I can sync with Google Calendar via something called DavX that I've never heard of. Okay. Yep. So that syncs with my Google Calendar, so that's pretty good. So I've got my calendar
both,
items on there.
Both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I was using AntennaPod for podcasts, but had to add them all again. But I really did miss Pocket Casts because the syncing across other phones. Being a serial device user, I do like the fact that Pocket Casts will sync across multiple devices. And the good thing about this phone is you can sideload apps from, you know, an APK if they don't require Google Play services or the Google managed service, isn't it, the GMS stuff. So if they don't require that, then you can use them, and I installed Pocket Casts and it's working fine, so that was great. So then I installed Audible, because that doesn't use Google services either, and that's working fine. And they're really my two most used apps these days, Audible and Pocket Casts. So that's been a major boon for this thing. So all the podcasts I've listened to, all the books I've listened to have been on the side phone so far for the entire month now. The one thing I do notice, though, is the lack of Android Auto. You know, that is a pain, because what I've noticed in the car is if you get in and plug another phone in, like an iPhone or another Android phone, I can't take calls on this because it won't allow me to have this connected by the side phone connected by Bluetooth and another phone plugged in to the car because it's wired Android Auto. So that's a bit of a pain. So, you know, to get around that, I've just been driving around with one of the Buds Pro 4 in my left ear to get around that bit. And still have Android Auto in there for sat-nav and stuff. So you could probably try to install most things that you wanted. I put MeWe on there, and that did work at first, but now it won't work, and I can't sign back in for some reason, so it stopped working, and I can't get in there. The other limitation it's got software-wise is it can't drive a smartwatch.
Now, I think it can... Sorry, go on.
No, well, I was going to say it can to a point. With the Moto Watch, I managed to get the Moto Watch app installed, and it will count all your metrics, your steps, and the health stuff, but you can't set up notifications. Every time I try to select apps to send notifications to the watch, it crashes. So there's obviously something odd about that.
I think that when you go back to the Google Play Services APIs, that's one of the things that they rely on these applications. I bet you also don't get any notifications from Pocket Casts either, do you?
Oh, I do. Not on a watch or anything, but I get the notifications in the normal notification shade for Pocket Casts. It seems to function perfectly without having Google Play Services.
Okay.
I did watch a video by Mr. Mobile, Michael Fisher, and he installed one of those, you know, you can get the kind of packages that simulate Google Play Services, can't you? And he said he did try that, but it was a bit hit and miss, so he took it off again and reset the phone.
Right.
So I suppose you could, if you had plenty of time, you could try and force it on there, but... But so you can install additional APKs of most things. So on the side phone at the moment, I've got Audible, Pocket Cast, the Moto Watch app partially working, and Microsoft To Do, which is my other most used app. I do like a good to do list, and I use Microsoft To Do because that syncs cross platform as well.
It's a strange mix of things that work and don't work, isn't it? There's lots of scope for mucking about and testing and seeing how that could be pushed.
Yeah, that was one of my things I was going to say was, but for tinkering, it's great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just make sure you're wearing your glasses when you do it, if you like, because like, you can't see the screen because it's so small. Yeah. But what I would say is that, you know, I know I put a bit of a joke in the show notes. As I said, in the words of the immortal Ronald McDonald, I'm loving it because I am. My SIM's still in it, and I've been using that as phone, text, WhatsApp for a month now.
Right.
But you will, and I have still got a secondary phone because there are things you just can't do with it. And I do find that there are things that you can't miss, like, you know, contactless payments, like I say, sat-nav in the car with Waze. You can't do that with it. Social media, I still do. I am on Facebook for a Scrabble app because that's how you link up with other people to play Scrabble. And also there's a group on there where there's travel and accidents around where we live. I would say that for us in MeWe land, we will always have a second phone. And I even said there that I always did have a second phone anyway. No matter what phone I was using, I always had two.
So. Yeah. I mean, for what this is built for, it seems like a really good option.
Yeah.
And looking at the camera, it's actually a Samsung 13 megapixel ISSL Samsung sensor. Yeah. So
that's surprising.
Yeah. It's not
13
one of
megapixel.
it's 13.
There's also
Yeah.
in the products listing on the website, Jim, the 1-9 T9 keyboard, you can buy a one that has got the letters on it. So they obviously bundle the one without letters on it in the package. Oh, no, hang on a minute. This is the Founders Edition. So
no, Ted, you are right, though. There is one you can buy.
Yeah,
I think you can buy one.
I think if you look at that page, the Founders Edition has got the 1-0 on it, but no letters, whereas the classic keyboard and the other side phone you can order has got the letters on it.
That's a surprise that you don't get that in the Founders Edition, because I did get the Founders Edition.
Right, that explains it.
And because I dinged it up so much and I like it so much, I ordered another one as well before I realised that there was a screen protector on it.
Right.
So I'm keeping one as a spare.
So you've got a second one coming, or has that arrived?
No, it's not arrived yet. I think it's shipped from Hong Kong, so... It'll be how long is a piece of string before it gets here? And
did you order another Founders Edition, or will this one? Oh right, okay.
No, I didn't. I didn't notice the difference when I ordered it.
Okay.
It's only because you've mentioned it here. If you buy the standard, you get the normal T9. I didn't realise that. But I did order another Founders Edition just so I could get that again. But the other thing it doesn't have as well, it doesn't have RCS messaging, which is a bit of a pain.
Yeah.
But you know, like I say, most of my friends group uses WhatsApp, which it does have, and that was the key kind of kicker for me, was that it has, you could get WhatsApp even if you couldn't get anything else. But as it turns out, you can try to install whatever APK you want. But the other problem with that I noticed was I was using an APK extractor to take APKs off my other phone and install them.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them didn't work. Like Pocket Cast didn't work at first, but then I used, I've got an app that Up to Down, there's a site called Up to Down for APKs. So I installed Pocket Cast from there and it worked fine. So I'm assuming that there was something about the APK extractor that it wouldn't work properly on the phone. But then when I installed it from Up to Down using their downloader, it absolutely worked fine.
Okay. I do know that the RCS support relies on the Google API, because it also doesn't work on other things like Lineage OS and Sailfish and stuff like the whole RCS system relies on the Google stuff.
Yeah, but like I say, all in all, I do like the phone. I didn't show it to all my mates while we were camping, but I was a bit devastated when I dropped it and smashed it. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, when you get your new one, you can share around the old one and we can have a look.
Yeah. It will come out for testing. I did take on board when you said to me, if you're liking it that much, don't send it out.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm pleased that you like it.
Oh yeah, I do really like it, because that would, you know, we could move on to the question you posed yesterday. Why are these things as big as we think they are? You know, like, is it becoming a bigger thing? And I think it is. Like, you know, you mentioned the new Lightphone 3, which is a flip phone, and there does seem to be some kind of movement towards the more kind of, you know, well, dumb phone, I guess. I can't think of any other word for it. A dumber phone that doesn't have everything crammed into it. But I would still suggest that most people will still have a secondary phone because they need some of the other things as well. But for me, it definitely has. You know, I do look at Instagram occasionally. I did go on Facebook, you know. But I don't go on them as much now with the side phone because it can't.
but can you get a browser?
It's got Firefox on it, so you can Google.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I've completely forgotten about that. Firefox is in one of the web repository, and I've used that.
Well, if you've got Firefox on it, you can pretty much go and do whatever you like in your Google account as well, then.
You mean, I've not tried logging into the Google account via the web.
Yeah. I'm sure you, yeah, absolutely. You, I'm sure you will be able to do that. You
Oh, I'll
sign
have to give
in,
that a go.
sign into Firefox with your Google account, and you get your Gmail and your calendar and anything you want. Yeah. But you've got to use it inside the browser all the time.
Yeah, which is on that tiny screen might be a bit of a challenge, but yeah. I can't imagine using Gmail on it, that's for sure. But like I say, because I always carry a second, I mean, to be honest with you, I've always got an the iPhone 13 mini on me because the rest of the family and that. So, but that does stay in my pocket a lot more now. Well, I don't use it as much as I did. And all the main tools that, you know, because I usually have widgets for Pocket Cast, Audible, Microsoft To Do, and the calendar on the main screen. So I use those widgets, and that's exactly what I've got on the side phone. I've got a calendar widget, a weather widget, the Microsoft To Do widget, Pocket Cast widget, and an Audible widget. You just swipe between. You only have one per screen because it's not very big. But and then I just swipe backwards and forwards between the screens.
Can you take screenshots on it?
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
I'd be interested to see these widgets. How it looks.
I will post some into the MeWe group for you.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same as your normal Android phone, power and volume down.
Oh, I think that works the same, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'd like to see some of your widgets.
Yeah, no, I'll do that. Yeah, I've just taken one of the lock screen. So. That's boring, though. So.
This is really geeky now, yeah.
Before we move on, Jim, I must ask you what in the picture of the breakfast on the left-hand side, you've got some sort of e-ink looking device. Please spill the beans. What is that?
That was the Books Go Books Color Go 7. I think you had one of those, didn't
you,
originally?
Yeah, I did.
But I don't. I mean, I've got the Books Note Air 4C as well, and I found that little Books doesn't work as well. I mean, not in its small. I wanted one that was a smaller form factor, but I found it doesn't work well. So I went out and bought the BigMe B7 Pro, and that seems to work a lot better.
Okay,
but I've just not got around to using it much yet. So I probably will be putting the Go Color 7 onto the PSC classifieds at some point. I mean, it works well, but it just doesn't work well for what I want to do with it. If you know what I mean.
Sure.
For me,
right? Okay. Where are we going next? Joe, on last night's Nomad Tech project, you were looking very closely at the Galaxy Z Fold, weren't you? Because Sam just got one in.
Yes, he's got in the honeymoon period with his Fold 8. I mean, I do really like the look of the form factor. And a lot of the things he mentioned, I can agree with when I had short hands on with it. It is a lovely device.
I'm going to Norwich tomorrow because I need to get the battery changed in the iPhone 13 mini because it's had it. So I've chosen Norwich this time rather than Cambridge, so I can slip into the Samsung Experience store they've got there while I'm there.
Very, very clever.
I know. I thought I'd go two for one. So I'll go and drop the phone off to have the battery changed and then sneak around to the Samsung Experience store.
Do you fancy the look of it?
I really do like the look of the Z Fold 8, but I don't like the price of it, so I won't be buying one. Mrs. Fowl is taking my wallet off me tomorrow.
Yeah, it's I think it's what we mentioned before. It's going to take a lot of flip users over, I think, into the more book fold style.
I do think there's a couple of disappointments with it, though.
I've
looked at it. I really like the look of it, and if someone had said to me, like, give us one of your children and you can have a Z Fold 8, one of the children would be gone. But the first point is the price. And for that amount, for $16.99, I'd really want 512 gig. Because every phone I've bought off PSC lately, PSC Classifieds, has always had 512. So I've just got used to it. So I think for that price level, you know, they could have upped the storage a bit. And I know it's Ramageddon, and that's probably what's caused it, and so on and so forth. But, you know, a bit stingy on the storage there. I've got used to my 512 gig Fold 6.
Mm-hmm. And it is, however, cheaper than the Fold 8 Ultra, though.
So, yes, it is. It's by £200, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the same storage level. Yeah, yeah. But There's also the lack of a stylus. I really hope they would bring back the stylus or pen support with that. And I know I'm probably an outlier, but I really have got into using a pen and writing a lot lately. When I don't have one of the e-ink devices with me, I do write on the Fold 6. But I've got to admit, when I've got one of the bigger devices, I will use that, you know. But that I think that was, I was a bit, because there was rumours that they bought it back, wasn't there? And I thought, oh, that looks good. And then I thought, yeah, they've not bought it back. But, you know, with the Z Fold 8 being duo-sized, it is very alluring, you know.
Yeah.
I've got an original Pixel Fold here, again, bought from PSC Classifieds. And I just do really like that, as Ted does, that passport style.
Mm.
Yeah. And I also said, there was a question in MeWe, in the PSC forum on MeWe, that, you know, what about just a single screen phone that wide? I'd go for that as well.
Yeah,
you know, I think
yeah,
I mentioned
me
that before. That if they produced one of those with just a single screen that was that wide, I'd love that as well. I'd love that. And the other point with it is, I don't really, a lot of commentary on the new Fold 8, you know, and the Fold 8 and the Fold 8 Ultra. I can't understand why people are saying the Fold 8 Ultra is the productivity device.
I can
and the
explain
Fold
why.
8 is the consumption device, because
I can
to
explain
me,
why.
the squarer screen, that seems to, well, in my view, it lends itself more to productivity, you know, and watching stuff and that. But, you know, I just can't understand why they're saying, oh, yeah, the Fold 8's the consumption device, the 8 Ultra is the productivity device. And I'm thinking, is that the right way round? Is it
So,
just me?
Jim, this is because this is how Samsung are selling it. This is how
Yeah.
they market it. So everything, their market pack that they give you, they're just, everyone's just following that, essentially.
Yeah,
so
I
they're
guess so.
saying, yeah.
Is that so they carry on getting
So I
free
agree
phones
with you as well.
You?
I think having that wider canvas is
Yeah.
quite good for productivity as well.
Well, that's
So,
what I thought. But, you know,
but yeah.
why would that one be the productivity, the tall, thin one be the productivity device and the short, fat one not?
One of them Sam touched on last night, though, is the hinge doesn't, it either wants to be open or closed, essentially.
Yeah.
It's not, whereas the Fold 8 Ultra, you can move into
You can
different
angle it to any
orientations.
angle, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Fold 8
Which
Ultra.
is
That's a weird
strange.
choice as well.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really like, the difference between this and the Pixel Fold, the original generation Pixel Fold, is that it's lighter, and even when it's closed up, I could see from, I've not actually handled a Fold 8, but I can see from in Sam's hand on the video last night, it's so dinky and light. And the Pixel Fold, love it as we do, it is hefty and heavy and chunky, and you know, it's fat and it's thick, and this just takes all of that away. And when you see the in the video, he's got it, and Sam, by his own admission, has got small hands, and this is sitting in the middle of, he's palming it basically. Really impressive.
Beautiful.
Every time I mean, I watched a couple of videos earlier today as well. One was by the unlocker, and yeah, it just, the look of the phone, just, it just looks great, doesn't it? It does look great. And the fact that it's, you know, the cameras, like I say, for me, I mean, the camera's not really the at front and centre. I wouldn't have the side phone otherwise. But yeah, I was thinking about it, and I do enjoy the telephoto on the Z Fold 6.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I don't, it still wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. You just, for me, you just use what you've got. So, I mean, even though I do use the telephoto, I probably don't use it a lot, if you know what I mean. But it is, the Z Fold 8, it'd be fastest finger first when one appears for a reasonable price on PSC Classifieds.
Too late, one's already gone.
it didn't meet my reasonable price threshold.
Oh dear.
The old gadget fund's a bit low on funds at the moment.
There seems to be a lot of interest, so I'm pretty certain you'll see one on Classified in time.
There was an article that went through today about the fact that Samsung have underestimated the popularity, and now they've ordered another million devices to be made. So they're really obviously under pressure to push these out, and everyone wants one.
So one of my team at work, he's an iPhone user. He wouldn't move to Android. He had hands-on with one because he sold one, and he fell in love. He was like, "If I did move to Android, this would be the device." So it is. I've noticed that actually, look, a lot of iPhone users are having a look at this. They're popping into store to have a look at it because it is something unique. It's appealing to a lot of people.
But I mean,
It's not unique, but they want to think it is.
I mean, well, it kind of is with the weight and
That's what I say. Well, if you don't include Huawei.
yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I've
which none
never
of the normal.
seen one of those, so yeah, I've never really had hands-on with any kind of Huawei stuff.
The
But is it a...
Huawei, what's the one that we really like, Joe? The Pura
The
X,
Pure
was it?
X, yeah, the
I
Pure X.
have
That
watched
was
a couple of
just
YouTube
lovely.
vids on that. Yeah, that's nice. It's just a shame that it's a bit of a pain to get GMS on it, isn't it? So,
I know, yeah. But there you go.
yeah.
Anyway, so
I shall be
what's
having a look
next?
tomorrow at one of those then.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know. You want us to talk about the minimal phone tune?
Yes. I thought I'd try not just talk about one thing on the show because I tend to do that.
Go
But
for
the
it.
minimal phone too. So the way I've couched it is, I'm still wait. I mean, I can't say that I'm short of phones at the moment because I'm still waiting on a Unihertz Titan 2 Elite and a Clix communicator, neither of which seem to be showing themselves at present. So, but I've seen a lot of I've had a few emails. I've seen a lot of stuff about Kickstarter for the minimal phone too, and I was in two minds about that because it is a complete shift away from the minimal phone one, which I have here, and Ted, you've had a play with that as well, haven't you?
Oh,
In the fact,
yeah.
the newer one will have an OLED screen rather than an ePaper display that's on the minimal phone one, and I do think
Yeah.
that's kind of a shame because that was like a device niche, but I do kind of understand why they're doing it. I suppose as a company, they've got to make something that sells more, haven't they? So I would say for them to survive in the marketplace, maybe moving to an OLED screen is the better idea. And like the e-ink or e-paper enthusiasts like me are a bit thin on the ground. So I don't know
Just
what
to
you guys think about it.
explain to anyone that's not clued into this is a BlackBerry-like device with a hardware keyboard at the foot of the screen.
And
Looks quite similar to the clicks, doesn't it? In the keyboard, at least.
it does, yeah, it does, yeah, definitely. They probably find they're all using the same screens or something, because there was talk that the Titan 2 Elite and the Clix communicator are using the same screen, weren't they?
So,
But
any idea
yeah,
how much it's going to be? There's no.
there was no price on it. I did sign up to be notified when it launched on Kickstarter, and I think it's tomorrow it's launched. So hopefully there'll be a launch price on it tomorrow. So I might see an email waiting there tomorrow and have a look and find out how much it's going to be. There was no price on it at all.
There is an emergence of these phones, isn't there? A lot more coming out. So they must really believe there's a market out there for it, which I think there is. But they must believe it to do it. Interesting.
So the Unihertz Titan 2 Elite, that's still not rearing its head. And the Clix communicator, didn't I see that that's been now pushed back to early next year even? Am
Really?
I wrong? I don't know.
I don't. I hadn't noticed that. But then, as you know, Ted, I'm famously not very good at keeping up with my
I think it's Q4. I think it's back end of this year.
clicks.
I thought I'd seen that it had been delayed, but maybe I'm thinking of something else. Okay.
I've got nothing further from them after getting the Clix power keyboard. I should have put that in the notes as well, that I got the Clix power keyboard. But
I
yeah,
think
no, I've not.
I think of all of these kind of devices, the Clix communicator looks the most attractive to me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, without a doubt. There's a lot of features on there as well. It's quite
Well,
unique, isn't it?
as per our normal way, as soon as they appear, guys, they'll be coming round to you for your assessment as well.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, love
Right,
the sound
okay.
of that.
Let's move on to watches. You're a huge watch fan as well, Mr. Gadget.
Yes, yeah, it is my main thing. When people ask you, what do you waste your money on? But it's definitely phones, watches, and technology. But yeah, well, I think I've done that forever. Yeah, I can't think of it at a time from the original XDA1 that I haven't done that. So, but yeah, I was just going to round up on watches as well. Like I was in the show notes, I put that I've become more accustomed to watches that have better battery life than the usual Apple Watch or, Apple Watch Ultra or Galaxy Watch Ultra. I have one each of those here. I've got too much stuff, basically. Need to start selling something. But, I've after getting a Garmin and the Moto watch, I'd become accustomed to having something that lasted a bit longer. And then I did go back to the Galaxy Watch Ultra for a while, but just got peeved with having to charge it every night, because it just didn't last, or into the knowing that it wouldn't last into the next day if I didn't charge it. Whereas, like I say, I've got the Moto Watch Fit, and a Garmin Epix Pro Gen 2, and the Garmin leads the pack at 10 days battery life, with the Moto Watch Fit and the Moto Watch coming up behind with 6 days. And that's just a massive difference, isn't it, when you think about it? But I had settled on the Garmin lately. And because I've been using my primary SIM in the side phone, that's kind of limited my options for watch use, because I could not get Garmin's app to function at all on the side phone. I've got the Garmin connected to my Apple iPhone 13 mini. The battery life is fantastic, but there are some problems with that as well, that are really annoying that I've discovered with it connected to an iPhone, because I had the Garmin connected to an Android phone before. On the iPhone, notifications are a pain. You can either have all the notifications or none. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, all notifications or none. You can't select which apps to send you a notification on the watch and which apps don't. But you have them on or you have them off. You can control it, but you have to turn off notifications on your phone as well, so you don't get notifications on the phone itself.
Sounds like an Apple control thing there.
Yeah, I guess so. But why would you have it down to that level? Unless I'm doing something wrong, and I'm sure one of the listeners will point out if I've got it wrong there. But I found that I can only either turn notification off for the app, and I don't get it on the watch or the phone, or have it on, and I get it on the watch and the phone, but for everything.
I'll tell you why, because Apple want you to buy Apple watches.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, mine's feeling a bit lonely at the moment, just sitting there on the side table. But and also messaging, you can reply to a message on the Garmin watch if you're connected to an Android phone, but not on iOS again. I know I don't do that a lot, so it's not really a big problem, but it's just another thing, isn't it? Like, if I can reply on Android, why can't I reply on iOS?
Does Garmin Watch use Wear OS?
No, it's got their own proprietary
Oh, okay.
real-time operating system, I think. Yeah, it's definitely not Wear OS. Yeah. And then there's the Garmin Connect app. Because I run cross-platform, I use a bit of everything. I've got Android phones, I've got iPhones, I've got an Apple Watch, I've got a Samsung Watch, Moto Watch. I found that a lot of the apps share data on Android, and indeed do share it with Apple Health on iOS as well. And on Android you've got Google Health Connect, and that works very well. But that's all apart from the Garmin app. The Garmin app will push certain metrics out, but take nothing in. So I can't go and use, say, the Galaxy Watch Ultra and then have the data flow into the Garmin app. But I can use the Garmin app and the data, some of the, not all the data, that's annoying as well. Not all the data will flow out into the other apps. But there's not those kind of restrictions for Moto Watch. Even for the Apple Watch, there's not that kind of restriction as well. But it is a bit of a pain if you kind of a serial switcher of things and like to switch it up occasionally. So you can't get, I know it, what you should really do is choose one platform and stick to it, I guess.
Easier
Had a
said than
look.
done.
It is due to iOS restrictions that you cannot type or reply to text
Yeah,
messages.
but it's also Garmin won't allow the other apps to push data into their platform, whereas the other apps like Samsung Health, Apple Health, the Moto Health, the Moto Watch app, and Google as well, Google Health, they'll allow the two-way flow of data, so you can keep your data up to date across those apps, no matter what you're using, apart from Garmin. Garmin, I like the Garmin because I think its body battery thing works quite well, and the running stuff that I like as well. But that limitation that means I can't choose. I either keep the Garmin watch on all the time, or I have gaps in the day, and I find that quite annoying, really.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I've never had a Garmin watch. Have you, Joe?
No, Lauren's moved to a Garmin because that's why I've got this Apple Watch for sale. I haven't put it up yet, have I? I have been tempted though, because so many people in our MeWe community rave about them, and yeah, it does become very tempting when you see so many good reviews.
But I do. I like you, Jim. I like the Moto Watch and the Moto Watch Fit. I like what Motorola do. It's simple. It's not Wear OS, so you don't get as much depth with it. But it's simple, and it all talks to everything else, and it works. Yep. And it's also really quick and easy to. As long as you've got the Moto Watch app on the phone, it's really, really quick and simple to back up and restore to the next device. Really works lovely, I think.
Yeah, it was really easy to shift the Motor Watch between devices, between Android devices, for sure.
And iOS, apparently.
And iOS.
Apparently, there's an iOS Motor Watch app.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to have a look at that as well. Well, I was just about to say, I can hear the Motor Watch calling me back as well. So I feel like, I could move back to the Motor Watch for a while. I'd have to put up with no notifications because of the side phone. But, I've put in the notes that the Apple Watch and the Galaxy Watch Ultra are definitely at the back of the queue now.
To some degree, if you've got a watch on your wrist, you can kind of forego the notifications. Because as long as it's coming through on something.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming through on the phone. And like I say, apart from the notifications, the side phone seems to let the Moto Watch app run well enough to track all the metrics that you might want to track, like exercise, steps, heart rate. That all functions okay. Just the notifications are a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good that you found something that works with the Garmin, even if it doesn't do absolutely everything you want to do. Yeah. I did notice an article this week in Yanko Design, which was about this forthcoming very, very BlackBerry looking device. And it's not just a concept, which Yanko Design is prone to do, but it actually looks it looks like a complete clone of a BlackBerry if you click through. And even down to the buttons and the shapes of the buttons and the way that it's just everything about it. And as I say, it looks like it's a goer. It's not just a concept. And they put a price on it as well, 313 quid. So that could be interesting, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it is exactly like a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
You know, one of the older BlackBerries. I can't remember which one, but it looks like
a Q10.
Was it the BlackBerry Classic? The BlackBerry Classic.
Yeah, yeah. But even the keys are domed as well.
Yeah, I do like that aspect of it. I think that's what I think the Clix is missing, the domed keys like that. Yeah, I do like
and
that.
They kind of go out on the left, and halfway across it turns to being going out on the right. It's very smart.
And it's 5G as well. A lot of these kind of minimalist devices are 4G only, aren't they? But this one's 5G Android smartphone.
Dimensity 7300, 4,000 milliamp hour battery, Qi charging, NFC.
Android 16.
Android 16.
Yeah.
So
a 50 megapixel rear camera as well.
Yeah, 256 and a 512.
NFC, yeah, bloody hell, it's quite a lot.
Jim, you don't speak too loud, but you've got to get one of these.
You get me shot.
Full Google mobile services.
Yeah, that's right. So
Mm.
very interesting. Right, let's get to the app wrap and tell us about what apps you've been using, apart from the ones that you've previously mentioned, of course.
I don't think I mean, I did talk about this one earlier on, but I don't think I've mentioned it as part of the app wrap before. But I was thinking about it, it's the Audible app. You know, I use that so often, well, every day virtually. And I went for a 2-for-1 here, and paired with the Anchor Soundcore app and the A30 sleep buds, it's what enables me to get a better night's sleep these days as well. Because I put an audio book on, and the Anchor Soundcore app kind of tracks when you fall asleep and switches from the book to white noise.
Oh,
Yeah,
right.
so that combination of the Audible app, the Anchor Soundcore app, and the A30 sleep buds are, I think I've slept better since getting them than I ever have done. I mean, I was never very good at sleeping anyway. I was one of them people that'd rather be awake than asleep. But so the Audible app and the Anchor Soundcore app, they're my kind of top tips for me, at least at the moment, paired with a pair of Anchor A30 sleep buds. Or Soundcore A30 sleep buds.
Have you got a audio, sorry, an Audible subscription? And if
Yes.
so, how much money have you given them?
Oh, probably over the years, thousands, but we're kind of probably, I hope Amazon aren't listening to this, but my son and I share it, so we take it in turns to buy credits. I paid a monthly charge. I don't even know what that is at the moment. And then we take it in turn to buy credits because he goes through audiobooks at a phenomenal rate as well. So we kind of share it. So it's not too painful.
Okay, the Audible app, the Soundcore app, and the A30 Sleep Buzz. Links in the show notes to all of those things. Couple of things in the news, which is that the Pixel event is coming on the 12th of August, which is, how many days is that? 2 days. So that's Wednesday, and apparently they're going to be doing it in New York at 6 p.m., which means it's going to be here at 11 p.m., which is kind of new, because normally they do it on the West Coast at 10 a.m., which is 6 p.m. for us. Anyway, so what we can expect, obviously, is the Pixel 11 series, and the Fold, the Pixel, the 11 Pro Fold, the 11 Pro, the G6 chipset, the watch. What else have I missed? Is there buds coming as well?
I think we're due some, aren't we? Yeah.
Pixel tags are coming. Actually, I thought the tags were already here.
Some tags.
But the pricing, we did talk about the pricing before, and the cheapest 11 series Pixel phone you can get is going to be £879 at launch, and that's the 256 gigabyte one. Thankfully, there's no 128 version any longer, which is great. But so yeah, anyone sitting up late for that on Wednesday?
No, I'll catch the highlights.
Mate, I'll watch the abridged version the next day on The Verge or something on
Yeah, good idea.
YouTube.
I have been wondering if it's time for me to jump. In fact, I swapped. Wasn't it you, Jim, that I got the Pixel 9 Pro
It
from?
was,
On, yeah,
yes.
and that Pixel 9 is still here, and it's perfectly good. And it's got this 7-year promise of updates on it, and you know, it's fast and it works. And I'm thinking, you know, I really shouldn't be even considering a Pixel 11. I should be waiting at least till the Pixel 12. And I just don't really think that I'm in on this. Any thoughts on that?
I gotta admit, like I do like the Pixel stuff, but I tend to get one in and then normally sell it straight away for something else. So I never seem to keep them, like apart from the original Pixel Fold, which I have kept.
Right, yeah. Joe?
Yeah, I'm still not tempted to go back on a Pixel at the moment. But never say never. Let's see what's announced, I guess. Because when I see it all shiny and I might get tempted. Like when it comes into store, that's when I get tempted.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
Well,
let's see.
one quick item was that there's an Indian handset maker called Lava, and they are going to make their UK debut soon with the Agni 4N, which is going to be very competitively priced, so they say. And yeah, I mean it's a brand name that obviously no one probably out of outside of India has known up to now. A Dimensity 8350 chipset and a candy bar phone, a 50 megapixel primary camera, 5000 milliamp battery, 65 66 watt wire charging, and yeah, I mean fairly kind of ordinary-ish specs, but it'll be interesting to see what price it lands at and who in the UK is actually going to carry it. I'm guessing that it'll just filter through probably to Amazon and
Yeah.
possibly, Argos and
Yeah.
Currys, and I can't see it'll be that much broader. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it's
Well,
rather funny
no,
this
go on,
one
Joe. No,
quickly.
go on, Joe.
Sorry, Jim. My friend Tor noticed this on Twix actually. That on their advertising in the pictures, there's one with a plug and it's a foreign plug. They're announcing themselves in the UK and they've got a foreign plug. It's like, come on, guys, get the plug right for your marketing.
The other interesting thing is that if you look at the other picture before the plug, the back of the phone, it looks like it's been battered already. It looks like I've had it for 5 minutes. And it says sand
Target
still
market,
likes
though, aren't
plastic.
you?
Yeah. Oh, I probably am the target market for it. Yeah. If
It
it can
says
take a beating.
the Agni 4 in India is 27,000 rupees. So if you can do the maths on that in the background while we move on, someone we'll
Yeah,
find
I
out how
better
much that one was. Right,
twenty-seven.
the next one is a TCL P80 Pro. So the update for the next paper display. Now it's not very clear whether this is the one that's got the OLED panel, which they're talking about, or whether that's still something for the future. It looks to me as though it's probably still going to be the LCD and the tradition, the current style of next paper. €350. It's the obviously the update to the P70 Pro. No, the not P70. What's it called? The 70 Pro. Oh, it's just 70 Pro, isn't it? Yeah. So we'll see what comes of that one. Any thoughts on that one?
I
I
do
do
like
like
the
the
look
look
of
of this.
this. The 80 Pro will reportedly features an OLED display,
Oh,
the
does it?
Pro.
Okay. Ah. Well, in that case, that's the first one of its kind. So in that case, it'll be even more interesting, Jim.
And the 8, yeah, and the 80 is still got the next paper mode by the looks of it. Hang on a minute, it says in the notes on the standard one, the P8, it said, but the Pro model has an additional slider on the right that may activate the display's next paper mode or mute notifications. And then at the bottom, it says it'll have an OLED display. Oh, yeah, an OLED display with a resolution of 2766 by 1280 pixels and the next paper mode.
So
That's interesting.
that was the news, that they had managed to get the whole of the next paper functionality into OLED. But I didn't think that it was coming this soon. I thought that it was something for the future down the road. But it looks like this year it's going to be the case, and it looks quite competitively priced as well.
Is it just the ultra range that supports the pen, though? So these two are not going to support the pen, are they?
I don't know, because the 70 Pro does support pen,
It does
because
support the pen.
you can buy the 70 Pro with that case on the back that comes with a pen. So we don't know. We need to see what happens. Particularly, it might confuse it because it's OLED, of course, which we've now discovered thanks to you. Well spotted.
It
It's silly cheap, isn't it, for what you're getting?
is cheap, yeah.
Definitely.
But
Yeah,
then
so.
when you bought the Ultra, the 60 Ultra, you got the whole set. That wasn't over expensive, was it, Ted?
When I bought it, it was on a Prime Day deal, and I got the whole lot for £424. But the proper price is £599. At the moment, it's dropped the proper inverted comma price has dropped to £499, but they are currently selling it, or they were the other day, at £399 with £100 off of that. So if you wanted to get in on the Ultra one, now is probably the best time to do it at £399.
Yeah, we'll have to sell some stuff first.
It looks a bit like the an iPhone body with a Samsung camera island, though, doesn't it? Like a baby of both.
Yeah, it looks very much like the 70 Pro, really. The camera layout's the same as the 70 Pro. I'll be very interested to see what happens with that. Anyway, did anyone do the maths on the Agni phone?
I did indeed. Yeah. 27,000 rupees is around £210 or £209.52.
Right, so it is likely to be kind of low end and budget like. So it'd be interesting to see the first kind of global phone out of India, or one of the Indian brands anyway. Cool. Right, Joe, what have you got to throw at us in Joe's throws?
Yeah, just a big update for me on the Motivator side of things. I've got the Razer 70 Ultra delivered today by
DHL.
Yeah, so hey, making a fair note.
Nice.
Not that there's going to be that much different from last year's 60 Ultra, if we're honest. As per my review last year, it's not really the form factor for me, but I did really enjoy the device and it grew on me a lot. So I am kind of looking forward to having a little play with this one.
I think the bottom line is that the differences between the 60 Ultra and the 70 Ultra are very, very few.
Yeah.
Very few. There's like about three highlights that are different, and one of them is a just slightly bigger battery. So,
what finish did you get, Ted?
Pardon? I haven't got it yet. It's been taken in by my dad today over at the house, so I don't know.
Pantone Orient Blue.
Is it the kind of denim-y feel?
I've not opened it yet because I'm going to unbox it properly. I'm going to film it.
Anyway, yeah, the point I was going to make, though, Joe, was that I do wonder if this is... if they're running out of ways in which to improve this, that they might be doing the same allegedly that Samsung are going to do and draw a line under this. And even maybe the Razer wide thing is going to replace it, because they're bound to do one, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm all for it because more a form factor I'm into. So, yeah, bring us that. I'm happy to see that. I wonder how many people would be sad to see the flips go. They're not that popular, are they? I don't know.
I think they are with girlies. Whoops. Well, not I say that.
I've still got the 50 Ultra I got off Ted here.
Oh, yeah.
No, I do use it from time to time, but as you say, it's not one that attracts my SIM card a lot these days.
No, and you would favour the wider book fold, wouldn't you?
Passport style.
I think you could be Ted. I think...
With all the interest in the kind of Galaxy Fold 8, it has prompted me to use the Fold 6 more lately.
Right.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets in the news and it gets you thinking about a foldable, I guess.
Yeah.
And on that note, my SIM has been in the Razer Fold for too long, really. I obviously do like having a Fold as my main device, because the V5 had my SIM for a long time as well. But I'm thinking I should switch it out now. It's long overdue.
I'm really looking forward to your coverage of the Magic 8 Pro, to be honest. I think if I could choose for you, I'd put your SIM card in that and get going with it.
Oh, I did my review of that, didn't I? Because I had it before launch. But do you know what? It's been quite some time.
I thought it was just an unboxing.
No, I did a proper review of the 8 Pro.
What did you do with it? Was that the one you took to the zoo and it was all to do with the camera?
No, that's the Moto Edge 60, that one.
Oh, blimey. Right, yeah. Okay, I'll retract that and go and look at your channel again.
but you are right in the sense that it's been quite some time. That was pre-launch. I played with it and had it. Okay. And I had to give it back before the actual launch. But I have got another one in, which from through work. So
Yeah.
yeah, I should really explore that again because it is a
Okay.
wonderful device. It's probably the best
Yeah.
lab device I've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice indeed. Right. Okay. Talking of honor, I've flogged my 400 Pro. I'm quite relieved, actually. Someone bought it just in time to get this Honor 100 watt wireless charger stand as well, which I've now got nothing to use it with, and it's just sitting there as any old bog standard wireless charger. But it's very nice and it's very pretty and it's very
I'll
well
buy it
made.
off you, Ted.
It's very nicely made. Okay, you can have it if you want. If you've got the right gear, it's super fast charging. An update on my Fairphone 5. It's currently in a plane over the English Channel somewhere. It's been repaired in France, apparently, and it's on its way back, and it should be landing either tomorrow or the next day, I would imagine, on my doorstep. So the Fairphone 5 will be coming along. The Fairphone 6 Plus has been announced. Well, it hasn't been announced. It's been hugely leaked, so that there's nothing else to know about it. And we shall be having a look at that. I put a post in the MeWe group today about that. And perhaps when we get closer to that, we shall have a closer look. And I think Steve Litchfield will have some input on that as well. Not that he's got one, of course. Not that he's not sharing it with us. Not that he's not saying anything about it. But we hope that the device he's getting is that. Personally, I think that it's not much of an update. They haven't brought back the display port, so there's no HDMI out for me and Jim. The cameras on the Pixel, the Fairphone 5, I think are better. And also, you with the Fairphone 5, you do not need a screwdriver to get the battery out and replace it. And it's not littered with all these silly accessory toys around the thing. I the whole six thing, I think, was just a waste. And the six plus, by the looks of it, all they're doing really is increasing the RAM, and putting a slightly faster chipset in it. I'm unenthusiastic about it. A brighter display was another highlight, but yeah, any thoughts, Jim?
I noticed in your notes you said it's got Fairphone moments as well, but only on the six, not on the
Yeah, which is just
five.
crap. I
Do you know
mean,
what?
Moments is rubbish.
Right, but from your notes, the Fairphone 5 looks the better deal to me, and it probably you're right in that it's the DisplayPort over USB-C. You know, why leave that out? That
Yeah,
seems to me to be a key
absolutely.
advantage. Now, I mean, I think in one of my mad ramblings, I actually thought if there was DisplayPort out on the side phone and it could do some kind of desktop mode, that would be fantastic. Be
Absolutely.
absolutely fantastic. You
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
plug that into the next dock. God, I'd be well away.
But yeah, that whole Fairphone Moments thing is just very silly.
Is that like the CMF phone thing as well? Right.
The CMF
Fairphone
phone,
moment. You know, it's got
the
that bit of software that allows you to record stuff,
Oh,
the AI.
the essential
Essentials,
stuff.
that's it, yeah.
No, it's not anywhere near as clever as the essential stuff.
Right,
No,
okay.
nowhere near. The essential stuff is packed with AI and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
All this does, the moment thing, is basically switch it to a dumb mode,
Oh.
and it locks you down to half a dozen items on the menu, so you can't use
Right,
the
okay.
phone in a normal fashion. A bit like turning a TCL NexPaper phone into the
To the phone.
The what's it the max paper the
Yeah.
max the
Max
max
ink mode.
ink mode. Yeah, a bit like that.
Oh,
Anyway,
okay.
it's just gimmicky and a bit of a nonsense, I think.
Yeah, they're not selling it to me. I much
No,
like the look of the Fairphone 5 over that. Yeah.
I stand by my decision last year. I had the six or the five, and they were the same price effectively. And I weighed it up and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. And I still stand by my decision that the five was the right one to get. And I'm much more likely to use it. The only thing I did like about the six was that it was a bit smaller, but there you
Yeah.
go.
Mate, yeah.
The Pebble Time 2 that you sent over, Jim,
Yeah.
that I have kind of stopped using now because I'm finding that I can't see it without glasses on. However much I want to put the backlight on and make the backlight bright as it will go now with an update, they lightened up the backlight. But even on maximum, it's still difficult for me to see. Because one of the reasons is the font, and it's small, and the thing is small to begin with. And I'm looking at it without my glasses on, and I can't see it. And then I compare it with my Moto Watch Fit, and it's like night and day, really.
Night and day, yeah.
I love the whole idea of the Pebble thing. I really, really do. I love the back end of the Eric Mijikovsky idea and the whole thing. Incidentally, I got a reply from him during the week because I did a bug report, and he came back to me personally. It's quite very impressive that someone of his magnitude should talk to me. But anyway,
your best mates now. You're right in there.
It's a lovely, lovely watch, but I think I can't see it properly, Jim.
I totally get where you're coming from on that.
So,
Dad, just going back to Fairphone, I just wanted to quickly say, I find it strange that they come out with new Fairphones so regularly, like when their whole mantra is being sustainable and like fit.
Yeah,
I just don't know why they're not on like a 3-year cycle or. Do you know what I mean? It does baffle me a bit.
They seem to have lowered their repairability as well, didn't they, from what I can read here? You know,
I think you can get it open still, the 6.
Yeah,
it's not as easy. And you need screwdrivers to do pretty much anything. Whereas at least you can get the battery out of the 5, which I do, and swap it out. I've got 2 batteries and I keep them both charged and swap them over. When my Fairphone 5 comes back in the next couple of days, I'll be very tempted to get back onto it, frankly, because I really do like the Fairphone 5, and it's so clean with the software. But there you go. Right. Before we go, it's PSC Photos time. And I picked a shot by Ian Bundy, which he's called To the Moon. He shot this on a Magic 8 Pro. He says it's not the best picture of the moon he's ever taken, but it was kind of interesting with a tree in the foreground in my garden. I like this. It's a picture of a very blue looking sky with a moon in the middle. And as he says, lots of dark silhouetted branches right across the frame in a random fashion almost. And it's just moody and atmospheric, and it reminds me of Tim Burton and Wednesday, and it just has that kind of that dark thing going on. Any thoughts on that one, Jim?
It's a nice photo. I didn't spot that one, you know. That's the first time I've seen it. When I was looking through the photos, I didn't actually spot that.
It's funny you say that. Same for me.
I went back 4 months.
Oh, right. That's why I didn't spot it, then. I didn't go back far enough. But it is a very, very good photo, isn't it? The colours. I do like sky shots, especially with the kind of sun and the moon behind the clouds when it's at its brightest. Yeah, that's very, a good photo.
Joe?
Yeah, I think Tim Burton is spot on that when you say that. It's a perfect description. That's exactly what I think of, yeah.
Sorry, go on, Joe.
I'm going to add one in, but I'll let Jim go for his first.
Okay, Jim. I
picked Zane Shade's Reflections of a City Corridor for no other reason than I just liked it. I just liked it, the fact that it was a city corridor, and it's quite, you know, it just looks quite well lit, the lights running down the corridor. There was no other reason apart from I liked it.
I quite like the rows of things, the uprights and the diverging, what's it called, and the way in which those white lamps are uniformly going out of the frame. I do agree with you that there is stuff to like in there, and the front of the frame where the name is over the door, which is out of focus, and it then brings the focus in as you go backwards into the frame. I think there's stuff to like.
The silhouettes in the windows. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a
yeah.
reflection in the windows, and it looks like someone's sitting there, doesn't it, in the window?
He took that with a Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. So thank you, Zayn, who was on the show last week, as you know, and Joe.
Yeah, I've added this one for a bit of a laugh, really, because when you spoke about GIFs earlier and you're not a fan of them, this little chess piece makes me think of what your face was like when you were talking about it. So this one's from Godfrey Lisk. He's been posting a lot of images on the photography group. So I thought let's pick one of his, and this one's got it's quite funny. A little chess piece looking very grumpy and perhaps a bit annoyed.
He's going to be on the show on the first Monday of September. So Godfrey, we'll look forward to chatting with you about what you're doing and what's up with you. So yes, very funny indeed, Joe. Let's move on. I was looking through the classifieds and thinking to myself, do you know, it's getting very slim pickings in there. What's going on? I said to Joe before recording, I said, what's happening? And you were mentioning something about the traffic slowing down, possibly because eBay have removed their fees or something.
That's right. Well, it's been some time, really, that happened. But yeah, they've removed their selling fees, haven't they? So I think that's become quite appealing to some people, which is understandable. But one thing we've got going for us with classified is it's trusted people, right? That's why we keep it going. So
yeah, kind of know each other a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's and to get into there you have to email Ted, so there is a little bit of vet in there as well. I mean we can't guarantee, but they all seem to be trusted people. And I like that element of it, so we'll keep it going. But it's definitely lost traction, hasn't it?
I just think it's a bit slow at the moment. It's a lull, isn't it? Like, you know, it'll build back up again once everybody starts selling off their old devices after getting a Galaxy Fold 8.
Like buses stuff on there. Sometimes there'll be hardly anything, and then a load of stuff goes on.
Yeah. I mean, I think apart from the side phone, everything I've got here was bought on Classifieds.
Well, it sounds like you've got some stuff to put up yourself, Jim.
I really do need to have a sorter. I really do. I have got too much stuff. I'm getting to the point where I think to myself, I don't know what to use anymore.
You did spot an S26 Ultra, though.
Yes, I did.
Jim.
I did put in the notes that the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 8 that was there, but that was sold.
Yeah.
I think that was Ling, wasn't it? Ling Sishum?
I think it was.
Yeah, and that had gone by the time I looked at it. Yeah, Ling Sishum, that had gone. And then I thought the Samsung S26 Ultra, Galaxy
S26. How much is S26, that?
It was, I was just looking at it. Where'd it go? Here we go. Read more. £725. And my tagline for it was, got to love that pen.
Yeah.
You can always see when someone's bought an Honor device because the free gifts go up.
Yeah.
And hopefully people share the benefit of that. So it's nice to think that if someone gets a free gift with their phone, that they at least reduce the RRP of it a bit and share the benefit. But I'm not sure if everyone does that. But that's the kind of thing I hope the community would do for sure. But anyway, there you go. Thanks
There's
a lot.
There's one unique thing on there, the Clicks keyboard by Kev.
Oh, yeah, there is. That's right.
If someone wants that, £60. Yeah.
Indeed. Anyway, we're running long, so we'll call it an end on that. It's the phoneshowchat.uk is our website. Two S's in the middle, don't forget that. If you want to buy me a copy, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/Ted Salmon. If you want to buy Joe a copy, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. PodHub UK is where you can find links to all the stuff we do, and it's also at tedsalmon.com. All the podcasts, all the MeWe communities, all the stuff you need to get stuck into what we do and join us in the community. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time after Joe's holiday. Hope you have a nice time. And
thank you.
I think we've got a drop-in planned, haven't we, for that?
Yes,
for that
in
2 weeks' time. So we'll go with that. Yes, have a lovely time, and we'll see you then. Thank you very much indeed, Jim, for joining us again. As always, everything you've got to bring and say is really interesting.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on again.
Always a
good
pleasure.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yes, always a pleasure. Yeah, definitely.
We'll certainly get you back. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And thank you for your support going forward. And we'll catch you in 2 weeks' time. Until then, have a good one and try and keep cool and out of the heat waves. Bye for now.
Cheerio.
Bye.